This is our Feast of Tabernacles. And as Mark said yesterday, it's the beginning of our, it's the beginning of the kingdom, really. And that's why we're commanded to rejoice. And we only have a few people here. Christ only had 12 at the end, and he said this, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And that's what we're working for, is the kingdom on earth. There's a couple new people in here, so I'm going to go over some things I'm sure most of us know. But Christ said, "Many are called and few are chosen." So the Feast of Tabernacles begins the kingdom. Every holy day or yearly Sabbath that Yahweh gives us is a major prophetic event in mankind. And this event represents the kingdom. And the kingdom, Christ is coming to rule on earth. And we will hopefully be reigning with him. That's what the Bible says, for those who endure until the end. Now, I want to talk about salvation, because salvation is what gets us into the kingdom. Many understand salvation to mean eternal life, and it does mean that. But on a closer examination of the word salvation, I have salvation in Strong's Greek dictionary. They go by a number. It's G4991. And it says safety, physically or morally, deliver health, salvation, save, saving. So there's more to salvation than just our eternal life that begins in the kingdom. There is physical safety, physical health, when you keep the commandments that give us salvation. So there is a physical safety that takes place here. As we go on to develop the character of Yahweh in Christ, we have this safety. Luke 13:1. Because you'll see that it comes from God's salvation. And Christ was approached at this point at Luke 13:1, and he'll ask him about all these horrible things that happened to people. And they were interpreting it to mean that they were great sinners. And Christ corrected them. He goes, "There were present at the season," Luke 13:1, "some that told of the Galileans whose blood had mingled with their sacrifice of Pilate. And Yahshua answered and said unto him, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things?" Now here's what you want to listen to. "I tell you, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:4. And then he goes on to talk about this tower that fell on people. "Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So we can conclude it doesn't take a great sinner for this to happen. If we are not repentant, we are going to fall on happenstance. We will be afflicted with diseases. Our physical well-being, as well as our spiritual well-being, is tied up in the obedience to Yahweh. John 5:14. And here was a cripple that Christ healed. "And afterward, Yahshua findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." So sin can lead to physical problems, diseases. So as he warned this crippled here, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that made him whole. I go through a lot of verses, you guys, so I'm going to go through 2 Corinthians 12:7. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Sin does not just have an effect on our spiritual well-being, but it also is a result of our physical demise. There are exceptions to this, but usually only to the spiritually strong. The exceptions are usually those who are killed for righteousness' sake. That's at a very high level. But usually, nobody in the Bible dies by accident. They either die of natural death or they're killed for righteousness' sake. And like I said, being killed for righteousness' sake is a pretty high level. There's those who want that, as a matter of fact. They desire that. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12:7. And here's the Apostle Paul, who was afflicted with, they believe it was his eyesight, he doesn't say, but he was afflicted with this physical malady, and he said, "And lest I should exalt myself above measure through the abundance of revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, and that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, shall I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, and in necessities, and in persecution, and distresses for Christ's sake, for whom I am weak. For when I am weak, I am strong." So sometimes these infirmities come upon us for not because you're sinning, but Paul had a problem with pride. I mean, he had a lot of knowledge, and he had a tremendous amount of revelation that Yahweh gave him. And he was worried about him getting too big-headed, I guess. So he kept him. He made sure that he was afflicted in his soul. There's other ones in Job. We all know the story of Job or what he went through. And he went through some unbelievable trials. And you have to be a really high level of righteousness to go through what Job went through. And after all his tribulation, I mean, you wouldn't believe all the stuff he went through. Job said this after he went through it all. He says, "I've heard thee with the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Job was a very, like I said, a very righteous man. He gave a lot to the poor. He was took care of the needy. But from what the Bible says, he got a little big-headed with his argument with Yahweh. And he had to be knocked down, but it brought him to a whole new level. He says, "I heard with the hearing of my ear," well, it might have been an intellectual exercise, "but now I see with my eyes. Now I see it as it really is." And that's what some of these trials will bring us through. But don't think you're not going to experience trials when you are converted, because you will. All I'm saying is your safety is guaranteed over accidents and stuff. Okay, Psalms 32:2. I don't know what's going on with my computer here. It's jumping all over the place. Okay. If we don't repent of our sins, it's going to take a physical as well as spiritual toll on us. And Psalms 32:2, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit is no guile. Then I kept silence, my bones waxed old, through the roaring of my day all the day long." See, when David's talking about when there was sin in his life, he never confessed it to Yahweh, and he started getting sickly. His bones waxed old. He felt beat up. "By day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." Then he says, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, in my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I'll confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." So 1 Corinthians 10:13. He does bring trials upon us to strengthen our walk with Him, like Paul and Job. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But He's not going to give you anything you're not capable of handling. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who shall not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now that condition only applies to those who repent. You know, those who don't repent, they're in a different category. They're not sinning, they're in rebellion. And that's far worse than a sinner. Luke 13:4. Of the 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think they were greater sinners than men above Jerusalem? So we, you know, that's, if we don't want these things to happen to us, we have to stay close with Yahweh and we have to repent of our sins. And the only thing that gets us to that point is to, we have to have a certain fear of Yahweh that He is, you will pay for it if you don't do what He says. For those that He's called, those that He doesn't call, He just lets them go on their way. So you're not going to find anybody dying of an accident. It's either going to be a natural death or killed for righteousness' sake. And we do these things for a... there's a reward when we live our life like this. And it comes in the kingdom. We will be ruling with Christ. As I said, that's what this represents. And we're supposed to go after these rewards. It would be like if I told you, work for me for 10 years and I will give you $10 million. And it'd take a lot of faith for you to do that in me. And that's the way Yahweh sees it. If you're doing these things for the kingdom, then you really do have faith in me and you do believe in me. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So He is a rewarder. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work. Now, I had one year I was here, and I was talking to this guy on the beach. He was a New Age guy, and we walked for a while. And we were talking about the fear of God, and he was very happy in that he thought all fear was bad, and he didn't have any fear at all until he was on our airplane when we came back, and there was something wrong with the aircraft, and people began flipping out. The lady who was sitting across from me, she was a businesswoman, she probably wouldn't give you the time of day till this happened. She goes, what does it mean? She was petrified, you know, and I said, well, you know, I didn't want to bring up God right away because people think they're going to die in that situation, you know. It reminds me of Paul Lynn on Hollywood Squares. They ask him that question. He says, okay, according to Road and Track magazine, you're going 70 miles an hour. You're 50 foot away from a cliff and your brakes go out. What do? He goes, honk if you love Jesus. That was the end. So I tried to diffuse the situation so she wouldn't get all upset. But she was panicky. And I told her, oh, no, they got so many redundancies on this aircraft, you don't have nothing to worry about. And then Narda said, well, I wanted Ingrid to come sit up by her. So I got Ingrid. She was towards the back. I says, well, your mom wants her to go sit up by her. And I sat in her seat. And in her seat was this Marine who was on leave with his wife and the baby. And I mean, this guy was in the fetal position, shaking like a leaf. You know, and I mean, he was He was petrified. And I talked to him and got him calmed down. I talked about a couple things where I lived, where he lived in Mount Clemens, and I grew up there. And I finally looked at him. I said, don't worry about nothing. Everything's going to be okay. Because when this happened, I turned around and I told Narda, I said, God's people don't die like this. We're not going to die in an accident, so don't worry about it. And when you have that type of assurance, you can live your life like that. When you fear God and you don't fear the world, fearing the world is bad. But when the only person you fear is Him, you're not gonna fall into an accident. You're not going to die of an accident. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, which is the lake of fire. And that's the type of fear. When we have that fear, we don't fear anyone. Yahweh will take care of us. Because as Proverbs says, it's the fear of the Lord that men depart from evil. You're not going to depart from evil because you think you're such a wonderful person and, boy, you love God so much, you'll do whatever He says. It doesn't work that way because that always fails. It worked to an extent, but it's always going to fail you. That's cardinal love, cardinal fear. And yet you never hear the apostles talking about how much they love God or Christ because you're kind of bragging on yourself. Because He says, if you love Me, you keep My commandments. So you're talking about how much you're keeping His commandments, really. So He doesn't want that. He doesn't want the syrupy, fuzzy human love. He wants the type of love that leads to obedience. And they don't verbalize it, those who do that. Like I said, you don't see any of the apostles saying that when you read the Bible about their great love for God or Christ. Even though they did, you can tell by they sacrificed their lives for Him. Okay, 1 John 1:9. Now, we're all going to sin. I mean, once in a while, we're going to fall into it and we're going to sin. But we have to repent of our sin. And repenting of our sin doesn't mean you just feel sorry for it. It means that you're willing to change. You have to change. And He will forgive you for your sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Chronicles 39. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if you return unto Him. So we have to return unto Him. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities would I remember no more. And this is important because many Christians today think they just got a pass. They think Christ come and died for your sins, so any sin you make from here on out, forget about it. And that's not what he's saying. You have to repent of your sins. So they go on and continue sinning, and it's totally opposite of what the Bible requires of us. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Yahshua Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit in your mind that will allow you to overcome. That is a conduit that puts the mind of Christ in you, our Creator, who came down on earth as a man and went through every temptation there was, probably greater than any temptation we'll ever experience, and He overcame. The Old Testament never had that. They gave the Holy Spirit to patriarchs, but now they give the Holy Spirit to the whole congregation. But they never had the mind of Christ in them, and that's what they offer now. In salvation is the mind of Christ. And we are here to build it. That's the parable of the talents. Where you have to increase this mind of Christ in you. And He expects us to overcome sin with the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit. John 8:11. Now this is after Christ forgave the woman who was caught in adultery, which was really a setup. And Yahshua said unto her, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Now He didn't say, don't worry about it, I'm going to die for your sins, I'm fine. But He told her, go and sin no more. We're not to continue in sin. 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that we might destroy the works of the devil. He's manifested in us. He's the only one who can overcome it. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now the seed they're talking about is the seed of Christ that is to be multiplied. And that's implanted in our minds. And we receive more of that the more we overcome. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Here's Paul chastising the Corinthian church. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Because there's always people in there telling you, well, don't worry about it. You know, Christ will cover it for you. If you're not repenting of it and you're not trying to change, he's not going to. He knows our hearts and he knows our minds and he knows our attitude. If you think it's some type of subway pass, you just click and, you know, you're there. It's big trouble. Okay, I'm going to look at some biblical definition of sin. 1 John 3:4. Whoever committed sin transgressed also the law, for sin is a transgression of law. That's a definition of sin. You broke the law. You broke God's law, which includes his Ten Commandments. Because the reason why I'm emphasizing this, because there's a lot of people out there who says that God's law is done away with. We no longer have to keep his commandments. And that's totally wrong. They are misinterpreting Paul's writings as Peter warned, unto their own destruction. They twist and they manipulate the scripture. And it's put there for a reason. God put those writings in there for a reason. If he'll give them the rope to hang themselves with if they want to disobey him. And he says that repeatedly. Because they receive not the love of the truth, I, God, will send them strong delusion if they'll believe a lie. So he will actively get involved, if you're going to be playing games like this, to harden your heart, as the Bible calls it. Okay, and here's Paul saying, honor thy father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Now, if Paul said the commandments are done away with, not only do they say they're done away with, but they're bad for us. That's the way they interpret it. Why is Paul telling these people to keep this commandment out of the Ten Commandments? So you have to be careful about what people tell you about the law and the commandments being done away with, because they're not. Here's Paul again, Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. There are people who actually say that the law is sin. And they're Christians. I have not known sin but for the law, for I have not known lust except for the law had said, thou shalt not covet. There's another commandment out of the Ten Commandments. Now, he's telling us that's what defines sin, is those Ten Commandments, or his law. So, don't be tricked by these people. If you have problems, you need to understand if it comes from Paul's writings, more than likely it's misinterpreted, because they'll have their interpretation of Paul's writings totally contradict something that Paul clearly writes someplace else. So, this is not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be obeying God and obeying Yahweh and to make our way into the kingdom and to actually experience this Feast of Tabernacles spiritually. Now, what I want to do is I want to go over the commandments so we'll all be familiar with them. Exodus 20 has the Ten Commandments. This is the foundation of the law. Exodus 23. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment, Exodus 24, chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make of thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So that pretty much covers everything. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. When he really wants to hurt you, he goes after your children. And he's done it before. And he goes after your heart. He'll hurt your heart. So, and showing mercy upon thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. See the contrast between that? And you see all these, like these Catholic, it's a cheap shot sometimes, I guess, to take on Catholics because it's pretty obvious. They have these statues of Mary and all these different statues of Christ up on the cross when it clearly says you're not supposed to have any of those at all. Okay, the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Those who take his name in vain is claiming they're coming in God's name. And they haven't. He talks about that, about how these prophets came and I didn't send them. And they're just making it up that God sent them. That's where you're taking God's name in vain. The fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, so even the animals within your gates is allowed to do that. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, he didn't have to rest. He's just doing it as an example, like Christ says. I do this as an example unto you. He didn't have to wash the feet, but he wants them to do. He's going to do as he asked them to do. And that's why Yahweh kept the Sabbath day. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that thy days may be long upon the land that the Lord your God giveth you. That's the only, like Paul says, that's the only commandment with promise. It promises you a long life if you do that. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, which really should read, thou shalt not murder in Hebrew. We do a lot of killing. We kill animals. But it's murdering that's prohibited. Yeah?
That's a fact word, murder.
Murder, right. Thou shalt not murder. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment, see, thou shalt not commit adultery when he says he's a jealous God if you bring up idols. Well, that is spiritual adultery to him. So he gets really jealous. It's like a wife committing adultery on him right in front of him. And he doesn't like it when you entertain idols. Okay, the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor the manservant, nor the maidservant, nor the ox, nor his donkey, nor anything of thy neighbor's. That's a big one, because the last commandment is the only commandment where it concerns our thought process. The other things you're actually doing stuff, this is your thought process. And it's interesting they should wind up the Ten Commandments with our thoughts, because Christ raised the commandments to a higher level. It's not just committing adultery. If you even look upon a woman with sexual desires, then you've committed adultery in your heart. So he brings it to a spiritual level. So those Ten Commandments are the foundation of Yahweh's law. And those are the things we have to, especially the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment seems to be the biggest problem with people. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because the cardinal mind doesn't see the good or bad in keeping it or not keeping it. It's real easy to wiggle out. Like Mark said, about not understanding things. You know, why do I have to keep this commandment if I don't understand it? And I'm sure that when they killed that Passover lamb, they had no idea that it represented the Messiah. I don't think they had any idea, but they kept it for hundreds of years like that. and they didn't even know. They are focused on the prophecy of the conquering Messiah when Christ returns at the last trump and he sets up his kingdom. And that's what they were looking for. The suffering Messiah, they didn't want nothing to do with it. You know, the Jews at the time. So, the Sabbath is a very, very important commandment. It's a faith commandment. In Exodus 16:4, he goes over it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. The Sabbath proves you to see if you're going to follow him or not, whether they will walk in my way or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, and that day there will be none. And it came to pass that they went out, some of the people on the seventh day, for to gather it, and they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? So we have to, that's a faith commandment. The Sabbath is a faith commandment. If people say, all I have to do is have faith, I don't have to keep those commandments. Well, if you're not keeping the Sabbath, according to God, you don't have any faith. Okay, and the book of Hebrews goes over the Sabbath. And those who refuse to keep. Now, this is a New Testament book. This isn't an Old Testament book. So they're talking about the Sabbath in the New Testament because some people claim it's not spoken about in the New Testament, so they don't have to keep it. Hebrews 3:18, And to whom swear he that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter into because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. See, the gospel was preached to the Old Testament. And the gospel isn't about Christ coming and dying for your sins. That's just a tiny part of it. It's about the kingdom of God being set up on earth. And Daniel talks about it. Isaiah talks about it. There's a lot of prophecies about the gospel in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them, nor mixing them with faith and heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works of the world were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake of a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. Now this is pinpointing when it is. It's the same day that God rested when he created the heavens and the earth, and it was on the seventh day. It can't be any day. Because some people will tell you, well, you know, I think all God's days are holy. Well, that ain't going to work. Could you imagine Moses saying that when he told him to take your sandals off because you're on holy ground? Well, God, I think all your ground is holy. He wouldn't have been happy with that. He's the one who makes things holy. We can't make anything holy. Hebrews 4:5. And then this place again, the seventh day, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Not keeping the Sabbath shows that you have a lack of faith. You have unbelief. And you notice you enter into it. You enter into the Sabbath. And I think the reason why it's quoted like that is because I believe the Sabbath is Yahweh's spiritual sanctuary. And you enter into a sanctuary. Hebrews 4:7. Again he limiteth a certain day. We know what that is, the seventh day. Saying to David, Today, after a long time, as it said, Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he have not afterwards spoken of another day? And he never did. But all these Christians are jumping on it and saying it is not Saturday. It's Sunday, or every day is holy, according to them. There remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. And one was that on the seventh day. Let us therefore labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man should fall after the same example of unbelief. So, if we hope to make it into the kingdom, we have to practice these commandments. And if we fall short, we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to repent. And like I said, repentance just isn't feeling sorry for it. It's you are willing to turn around and change. So James 2:10. Because some people think that they can take the Sabbath right out and just keep the other nine. You see this in some Christian circles. And James says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one, he is guilty of all." So you can't take one of the commandments out. "For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not kill.'" Where do those commandments come out of? The Ten Commandments. "Now, if thou shalt commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou hast become a transgressor of the law." You can't taper the commandments to what you want. You have to do all of them or none. And you need to repent if you don't keep them. So that's basically what James is saying. Deuteronomy 12:32. God said this, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it." So we have to keep these commandments. We can't be tailoring them to what benefits us. We have to keep them all. Exodus 31:18. "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him unto Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." There's two tables because, they don't say this, but I believe this is true. The first table more than likely had the first four commandments. They tell us how to love God. And the next one had the last six, which tells us how to love our neighbor. Like, you know, the old commandment where love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. That's the first tablet, the first four. "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself" is the last six. So what they're saying is they're entailing the reason behind the Ten Commandments. It doesn't do away with the Ten Commandments. So it's important that we understand that. Deuteronomy 5:39. Here's God kind of moaning and just distraught a little bit. "Oh, that there would be such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." It means no accidents are going to befall you. You got all kinds of things that's going to go well with you. He'll bless your life. And there's things we can't control. And relationships are the biggest one. And he'll make all your relationships run smooth, everything. So we need to fear him and keep his commandments, as Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy 10:12. "What doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good." He's not doing it because we're walking through a spiritual minefield. You understand? And he's telling us, put your left foot here, put your right foot here. And if we're not paying attention, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble because we're going up against a supernatural being, Satan. It's far more intelligent than we are. He could manipulate us and wrap them right around his finger. And we need to be very, very careful. And as he says many times, fear is a part of it. You have to, you know, if you have a little child running towards the expressway and there's a big tractor trailer coming down, you don't have time to explain to him if you got this toddler, "Hey, I don't want you," because you want to tell him and you want him to stop. Now, I was out with walking on the beach, and Angie and the kids came up, and JJ, her little boy, started running. And Angie kept on saying, "Get back here, JJ, get back here." And JJ, he just kept on going until his dad yelled out, and he stopped right in his tracks. You see, there's a little bit of fear there. That fear is important. And it's there was this thing in Africa. It was in Kenya, one of these big nature parks. And something was killing a rhino, and they couldn't understand what was going on. And then they traced it out, and they realized it was elephants. And they said, what's going on with the elephants that they're killing the rhinos? This never happened before. So they come to find out that they have a pretty much a matriarchal society when they're raising the young elephants. And then when they get teenage, they run them off with the old bulls to keep them in line. Well, the old bulls were getting killed for the big tusk, and there was no more old bulls around, so they're just doing whatever they wanted. So there's no fear in these young elephants. And it's like us. Sometimes we need that fear. The old bulls weren't there to keep them in line. And they became a danger unto the park and unto themselves. Some of them they had to kill because they got so violent. And look what's happening. Look what's happening in our inner cities, what they're doing to them. They're creating financial incentives for the father to be out of the house. You know, and look what's going on. There's killings and there's just crime, and there's nobody to keep them in line. And sometimes single mothers can do it, but a lot of times they can't. You know, especially when a boy gets adolescent and they start getting their hormones kicking in and they tower over their mother. They have to have a little bit of fear in them, and it comes from the father, just like we fear our father. Isaiah 24:6. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few are left, because of the earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Psalms 103:17. But the mercy of God is upon from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness upon the children's children. They didn't have a word for grandchildren, so they call them children's children. Psalms 103:18. To such as keep my covenant, and to those that remember his commandment to do them, that is where his mercy comes from. Matthew 19:16-17. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? Because that's what it's about, our salvation, eternal life. And Christ said, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he asked him, What one? And he started mentioning the Ten Commandments. So those Ten Commandments are very important. If we expect for our life to go well, we would pay attention to those Ten Commandments. 1 John 2:3-4. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, because now, like I said, there's some Christian circles who claim they have a personal relationship and they don't need to keep the commandments. Well, if you don't keep the commandments, you don't know them, then you don't have a personal relationship. The personal relationship comes from obeying him. And now here's a definition of the saints, which are the believers in Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And we know the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That's two things they do. They understand prophecy and they keep the commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right, they have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city, which is in Jerusalem, in the kingdom. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of... They don't have the faith in Jesus. They have the faith of Jesus as Christ lives through them. They develop that faith that Christ had. They develop the mind of Christ. In some of these newer translations, this is the King James Version, they take that out of and they put in. John 5:2 and 3. By this we know that we love... that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. You see what loving God, the definition is? It's keeping His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Some people will tell you it's the weak and beggarly elements. They don't even, it's one of Paul's writings again that they don't understand. John 14:24, He that loveth me not keep and keepeth not my sayings, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which I sent him, that sent me. So he's just repeating what the Father told him, Christ did. John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And Matthew 15:38. I think I'm going to wrap up with this one. I got more to go. No, I'm going to read some more. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They do that all the time. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you. And, well, here, do my commands. Oh, I don't have to do those. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They're following man's commandments and not God's commandments. So it's plain from the Bible that our physical and spiritual safety, as well as our families, is dependent upon obeying God by Christ via God's Holy Spirit, but it takes faith in God's Word. Now here's some of Paul's writings that they misinterpret. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is what I'm talking about. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it allows Christ to come and live through you. And which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not the faith in, but you actually have the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then it says, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, they'll tell you, well, no, you can't keep these commandments. Well, that's not what Paul said. He can do everything, including keep the commandments. And God says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. That's David, who has a man after God's own heart. And then he says, depart from me, you evil doers, for I will keep the commandments of God. Psalms 119:117, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. That's David thinking. So if you're looking for safety, it's our salvation and our eternal life is just a part of it. But our physical safety is obeying God here and now. Thank you.